PHP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Welcome to the Worst Golf Podcast. Everybody wants to be the best. We strive to be the worst. When a bad take is necessary, we'll be here to share it with you. I'm your host, JB, and with me is Morgan, as always. She'll spend most of her time off camera, yet she's here to keep me in line with all those buttons. Before we get started, I want to make sure to tell you to subscribe to whatever outlet you're watching or listening this from. If it helps us way more than you know, and we have a lot of stuff coming. We have a contest. You can kind of see the prizes over here. We got a putter out here. We have this beautiful Masters flag. And, of course, this Theragun Mini. Morgan, which one would you like to win?
I would definitely go Theragun Mini.
Why?
Because I'm always sore.
Well, that's one way to look at it.
Yeah, I also just think it's an awesome thing to use, especially if you're traveling.
You can take it
with you for golf.
And it fits right in your golf bag. But the cool part about this contest is you're not going to know what you're winning. We're going old school with this. We got a fishbowl, Mizuno one to be exact. There's a piece of paper in here with each prize. And the prizes are going to be drawn randomly, and we'll have news on how to enter later on, but it's going to be involved making a single post about how bad this podcast is, and we'll go from there. We also have a granddaddy contest. Yes. Really more of an announcement.
Yeah, I was going to say, not really a contest, just an announcement.
For everybody saying this is the worst golf podcast, guys, it's going to get way worse.
So much worse.
So funny story before I get into some notes. We set this up. We had this desire to do this, sort of, I guess you would say, a while back. And in moving to our new area, we set up and we built this studio. And in the last 48 hours, we've completely replaced everything in here. So it might have a different look by the time we do another show. Somebody's asking what the interesting hand is.
Going to answer that.
It's a Quator glove hand model. The folks at Quator gave us that, and we keep one of their gloves on there. It's pretty cool. We have a lot of stuff in and around the office, and we'll kind of go through some of that each week. But I'm going to kick this off with a little story. And I just came back from the Dormy Club. People on the forum kind of followed in on that. If you aren't on the THP forum, you're missing out. But you should definitely come on and check it out. But we went to the Dormy Club. I took a couple of THPers and a friend. And while there, we played a lot of golf, ate great food and everything. And it's about a 6-hour drive from here, 6.5, 8.5 coming back. But that's a different story. When we were leaving, we were all hungry and we didn't have time to hit the restaurant and have a meal. Jeremy did, but we didn't. We had to hit the road. And we started looking at fast food places about where to go, what do you want. Making a decision with three dudes that are starving is never easy. But we had this conversation about best fast food, obviously, but also when you're leaving a trip, do you stop at the place that, let's say it's a road trip, and I'm going to go out of limb right away and say it's Sunday, so don't everybody say Chick-fil-A.
Because everybody knows Chick-fil-A is the best.
But if you are leaving a trip and it's a drivable trip, do you hit the place that's like right on the right-hand side before you hit the highway, no matter what it is? Or do you get on the interstate, start your drive, and look for your favorite place? It's fast food. So, Morgan, what would you do? And I know you hate all things fast food because you're a communist, but what would you do in this situation?
First of all, yes, I do hate all fast food, although I think Culver's is acceptable and Chick-fil-A is acceptable, but
neither one of those are on this list.
Yeah, you've eliminated those. So for me personally, I'm probably going to stop at like a McDonald's because their French fries are good and I can eat that and just be done, because that's pretty much all I'm going to eat for fast food.
What are you guys saying? I see a bunch of stuff on here. A lot of fans of
Culver's. People have
Culver's. You pull into the drive-thru and you have to wait 20 minutes. Here's your number. Go pull ahead. I could have gone to Applebee's in the same amount of time.
Oh, now I have that song in my head.
Second question related to fast food that I need to ask everybody here. If you decide to go my route, which is get on the interstate and look for the best place, are you allowed when you get off on the exit to stop at two places?
No.
Meaning, let me explain. You say, let's just say you decide you want Arby's and there happens to be an Arby's, but it's at a major stop, so there's a lot of different places. You pull in, you go to the Arby's, and then you look across the street and you say, oh shit, there's a freaking Dairy Queen right there. Are you allowed to also stop at the Dairy Queen and get a Blizzard on the way out?
No, the correct answer is you skip Arby's, go straight to Dairy Queen, get a Blizzard and French fries.
No, that's wrong. We're starving. That's not going to fill you up on a 7-hour car ride.
You're doing it wrong then.
I'm doing a lot wrong. This is the Worst Golf Podcast. While at this event, I'm going to get back on track here since I was rudely interrupted by everybody. I wasn't really, but to get back on track here, while at this thing at the Dormy Club, they have a, I'll call it a comfort station, and it's for the members and guests of members. You can go in, you take what you want. They have beverages and snacks and things like that. And then you sign. It's an honor system. You sign what you took. And one of the things they had in the corner was a frozen transfusion machine. And I know that M. Maynard, who's in this chat, had one and said it was good. But I'm going to talk about the transfusion in general and why I think it is the ultimate bro drink. And it's one step away from drinking Trulies out on the course. It is so overdone. I'm the guy who said when your drink becomes part of a head cover fashion, then it's gone too far. You see it on shirts. You see it on head covers. I'm expecting Rob Gronkowski, the ultimate bro, to jump out of the bushes drinking one. Like, it's just gone too far. Do you guys agree with that? Is there a better drink that could take off and not the transfusion? It's just, it's too much. I see that people drink Trulies on the course.
Oh, yeah, White Claw. That's another one, too. I'm not a drinker, so I don't know about this stuff.
They're all equally terrible.
Like,
some of you guys are cracking us up. They are delicious. David, I'll give you that. They are delicious.
I've never had one.
I'm with Parrot. It jumped the shark. And while Morgan and I were having this conversation that neither one of us know what that saying actually means.
Yeah,
I mean,
really
we
don't
know what it means, but where it came from, the transfusion has officially jumped the shark.
I feel like once it made it to a head cover, that was it. Like, that was game over.
The head cover does tend to beat shit into the ground. I'll use the example of the Bethpage Black sign. Anything related to pimento cheese sandwiches and the Masters.
Which you love.
I do. But I don't need it on 17 head covers that arrive media week before the Masters. And, you know, it's too hard. It's just too much. Let things go. Let them live their course and then die out. Speaking of living their course, really, it's a terrible segue. It has nothing to do with that. I went and played a local course here.
Here we go.
And Morgan already knows what I'm going to say because I came home bitching about it. Have you guys ever encountered the shit-talking starter that has literally been everywhere on the golf course, knows everything about the golf course, knows everything about golf and everything else? So to paint the picture, I am pulling up to the first tee, and he's sitting there in his little cart. There's nobody there. And maybe he's lonely, maybe he's not. And he starts in with, you know, when's your tee time? And then he starts telling me about every nook and cranny on this golf course to the point of the celebrities that have been there. I could have pulled up with Magic Johnson and he would have told me he played golf with Michael Jordan the day before. He's just that one-up guy. But it went to the starter's job to get me out on the course turned into a 10-minute spiel about how amazing it is and how he can tell me every single thing about the course, like he was almost angling to come out and play. I was so taken out of my element that I was staring for a cart person. I don't know.
We were talking about that.
Yeah, I don't know what the proper terminology is.
I've never seen anymore. A cart guy there, before.
I have seen a cart guy, but we're going to go with just cart girl.
Okay.
I was staring for that. I hate that.
I know.
And just trying to find a couple of bottles of water.
He hates when I say K.
Yeah, it's awful. One extra syllable is not going to take somebody out. Just to grab a couple of bottles of water to get him to stop talking. But do you guys encounter this? Like, has that starter ever taken you out of your element so much that by the time you get to the first tee, you're ready for the round to be over? Like, you're just done?
Yeah, so if you've been reading the comments, a lot of people are talking about how they know that person, not necessarily as the starter, but like their rep at Edwin Watts or whatever.
Good choice.
Yeah. And so I said, let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go. Like, why? This guy obviously has some sort of a complex, some sort of an issue where he feels the need that like he needs to beat his chest and tell you this, that, and the other. For the 5 minutes that he's inconveniencing you, just let it go.
Well, it wasn't. It was by 45 minutes.
Well, it was 45 minutes in your head. Yes, in reality, it was
about five.
Exactly.
Maybe even less. But so to keep going here, so I pull up to the first tee. And I was feeling good on the range and taken out of my element completely. Like, just, it was trash in my head.
Okay.
Get up to the tee box. It's a really easy first hole. It's straight away. It's about 340 yards. You don't want to hit driver here, but you just hit something out there 200 yards and you'll have a small little wedge or nine iron in. And I hit one about 80 yards straight and about 200 yards right. So I'm not a big club slam guy, but I kind of tap my club, the sole of it on the ground, and I say, God, take up fucking bowling. Just like that.
Language.
I know. And I'll segue into that in a second. But he looks at me as if I have three heads. But it dawned on me that everybody has that thing.
The self-deprecating.
Yeah, the self-deprecating thing you say to yourself, whether it's I suck, whatever it is. And we want to hear from you guys. We asked this on social media the other day. What do you call yourself after the bad shot? Or what do you say yourself? I'm usually, I suck at this. I'm not a big swear guy, but ironically enough, I just did. What do you guys say to yourself? Alec had a question above about something behind me, and I don't know what it was.
No, he was asking, how are the golf balls staying on there? I think scotch tape, isn't it?
No, it's museum putty. So actually, that might be scotch tape.
Yeah,
we normally use museum putty.
We didn't have
putty.
Any. Yeah, so we used scotch tape.
Museum putty is kind of feels like silly putty that you had as a kid. Well, most of you guys probably didn't have as a kid, but that you had as a kid, and you put like a tiny pea size amount, flatten it out, and it'll hold everything in place. It works really well, and the golf balls do stay there. We did a picture years ago on social media with the one that's all the way on the left and the Callaway Truvis ball, and it looked like there were like 20 Truvis balls in a row on black, and everybody thought it was a cool Photoshop trick. It wasn't. We actually used Museum Putty and lined them all up. That's why one of them was slightly off, and it drove me crazy. But what do you guys call yourself?
Most people are saying the same thing, kind of like idiot, moron.
Yeah, you know. I get a little more graphic than that. I actually called myself M. Maynard last time, if he's listening.
Wait, Devo said you need a Devo ball.
No, I don't. I've seen that. And that was amazing. I think it's time we probably give this away.
Ryan, I see that you said you call yourself a donkey, and all I can think of is Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, I was thinking Shrek.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, too.
When somebody says donkey, what do you guys think of? I would think Shrek. You think Hell's Kitchen?
I think Hell's Kitchen,
I think Hell's Kitchen, I think it's fucking raw.
No,
that's all I think of.
When he calls them a donkey or a cow or something.
Oh, he does call them a cow, especially if they're larger in size.
Yeah, third person. I think a lot of people do that, talk to themselves in third person.
Oh, I don't do that.
Shrek. Most people think Shrek,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I
which
definitely
is a good one.
Don't do that. But getting back to this, I think it's time we give this away.
Okay.
So we've decided the best way to do this, rather than just have you post a comment in here, because we have people watching on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube, on our website homepage, and on the forum. Go ahead.
Schmuck is not really a bad Jewish word. It's just another word for an idiot or a moron. Go on.
To be fair, there are no Jewish words.
Well, Yiddish.
There's Hebrew and Yiddish, but neither here nor there.
Sorry, somebody posted that, and I wanted to at least answer that.
So we're going to have you go on the forum right now, and the time is 1:11 Eastern, and we're going to keep this contest open for 9 minutes in the middle of this, and you are going to go on and say how bad this podcast is, 10 words or less. Just throw a comment in there, and we will pick a winner after this, but we're going to find out right now what prize they're going to win. And we promise you all three of them are in here, because we'll show you afterwards.
All right. Let's see. What is it? Here, you're going to have to do it because you're on camera.
The Mizuno putter. So we will be giving the Mizuno a putter. And just to show you guys that we had no idea which one it was going to be, I can show you this one says Masters flag, which I believe Canadan is going to steal, as he made the comment on the forum a few times. For those listening and not watching, if you do get a chance to watch, you're going to want to. We're going to do these quite often, and there's the Theragun Mini. So we will give away that Mizuno putter. to somebody on the forum right after this show ends. We'll go ahead and put them in a random number generator and pick a winner. Wanted to switch topics a little bit and talk about something a little behind the scenes that people haven't encountered and wouldn't encounter. And I'll call it the midnight dump, but it is not anything what you guys are thinking of.
I have no idea where you're going with this.
So I don't have topics. So it's just kind of me talking about shit that comes into my head. And it's a scary place up there. But the midnight dump in my world is when
somebody's asking, yes, in the podcast thread.
What's that? Yes, in the podcast thread. The one that went up this morning. So the midnight dump in my world is when a company has something coming out, let's say on a Tuesday morning.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
And they decide they're going to send you a press release, photos, and everything else Monday at 11:50. And your job is to get content out on that in the next 5 hours while you're sleeping, of course. So it happens in news too. Like the news that the stations and media don't want you to read, they'll dump out a Friday at 5 p.m. In this case, it happens. Some companies never do it. Once in a while, a company will do it. Certain PR firms are notorious for it. And I'm not going to call out anybody. That's not my job here. But in the last couple of months, it's been happening more frequently where you'll get something at Monday at 8 p.m. for a Tuesday launch. And it's effing frustrating. How would you, to the listeners out there, handle that? Would you deal with it from an aspect of, hey, do your best, put your head down and get the work done? Would you ask for assistance? Would you respond back to them? Aaron, I just laughed out loud at your comment. We have a 55, 60 inch TV behind us here. And I can see the comments scrolling through. And I just laughed out loud at that.
So did I. Which thread do you want them to answer the, because we have two of them.
Oh, the one that went up this morning.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
So I have the tendency to be frustrated and send the email off with something along the lines of, in a nice way, are you fucking kidding me? How do you want us to do this? But no, actually, in this case, it doesn't, Dean. No, but that's pretty funny. It has been numerous times in the past. But it's just a genuine thing. Like, I don't know. We want to get you guys the best information possible, and we want to get you guys all the correct information. But getting something as the midnight dump rolls around is never easy.
Yes, he's wearing a Dormy Club.
Yes, this is Dormy Network and Dormy Club. They have the same logo, but the different clubs have a different one. We have a lot of events coming up, and it's not Wilson, Joel. They don't even put out press releases except about half the time. We have a bunch of events coming up this year, and we're going to be hitting them hard and fast. And with a podcast like this, there's no real rhyme or reason to the format and the schedule. There could be weeks when we do two or three of these a week. There could be weeks where we do one. Most weeks we'll have one, wouldn't you say, Morgan?
Yeah, I would say, as long as you're in town.
Yeah. We want you guys to be able to get them as frequently as possible. So again, if you get podcasts, the audio kind on Apple, Google Play, whatever you do, please subscribe. You'll get them automatically. You can delete them if you don't want to listen to it. They're pretty awful, but not Dan's show, of course, but you'll get both of them together. So go to Apple Podcasts or Google Play, search for the Hacker's Paradise, and it'll come up. And we want you to get those when they come out. And again, delete if you don't want to listen to, or we don't have a good guest or something like that. But please leave a review. You don't understand how important that is to us. The same thing with liking the videos and subscribing here. It does matter way more than people think. Going back to the events, we have a bunch of them coming up, and I'm going to be hitting Dormy Club a couple of times, Ballyhack two times. I'm going to hit Ballyhack a third time with Dan and James, our staff members, along with Chris Koski from Adele, and we're going to get some really cool content for you guys while out there. That's happening later in the year. And I think that's it, right, Morgan? We obviously have non-Dormy clubs. We are going to Old Waverly.
Yes.
For the Morgan Cup.
Yep, and we've got TPC Sawgrass.
TPC Sawgrass up. With Mizuno. So there's a lot of great stuff coming up. And we hope you guys get a chance to follow this.
We think James is going to get there. He's got a 35-minute layover in Charlotte. So
yeah,
that's a maybe.
Flying is not the easiest thing going on right now.
That's going home, so he may not make it home.
Oh, well, then he's good then.
Yeah.
35 minutes is plenty. TPC Sawgrass is going to be phenomenal, Checkered. We're going to live stream that probably the 17th, assuming network and internet connection is good enough.
Oh, and the food's going to be awesome also.
Oh, the food at that one is special.
But thanks to Vosh, we do have to have a vegetarian option on there.
Yes, we do. Chris Vishal from Mizuno will be joining us at that. Be live streamed again on the 17th. But yeah, the schedule is going to be crazy. And I said all this in a long form way of saying, bear with us. This is going to be a lot of fun to do, but very non-scheduled, non-structured. We're not going to always have a thing saying it's coming Thursday at 1:00. It may be, hey, we're live, or it may be pre-recorded and go strictly to audio. So that's kind of where we are. I got a question sent to me on social media this morning. Interesting spam in the comments.
I know.
There.
I was like, what the heck is that?
About the food at our events and what goes into planning them. And Morgan plans most of them, nearly all of them, with the help of whoever we're working with. So not just company, but also the course, the Dormy Network, where we try not to just do the order off the menu kind of things. And TPC was finding restaurants because I didn't want to eat at a Hotel Marriott for multiple days. But can you kind of answer that question for people?
About how I...
How the menus come to be and what we look for and why they're special. We don't want this to be get together for hot dogs and burgers. I mean, that's fine for a day.
Yeah. So it all depends, really. Sometimes if it's a regional thing, like when we were in New Mexico, like it was important to me to have a Mexican meal because it was kind of like what's popular in that area. So sometimes I'll focus on that. Like if we do something in Nashville, well, this time we didn't actually do Southern, but normally I wanted to do something like Southern. Also, it depends on sometimes if I know or I've, you know, had a lot of communication with people in the threads before, I can get an idea of what they like also. So like if I know that, hey, these are like a bunch of like meat and potato guys, I'm going to look for menus that's more geared meat and potatoes. Otherwise, it's really just about researching. I speak a lot to the people in the hotels to try to find out, you know, what's around there. Don't give me like your typical stuff. Like give me something more local. Does that help?
Yeah, I think so. I think that kind of clears it up.
And yes, Marjorie, we have an amazing event in December.
We do. And you know what? I'm going to tell people about that because we're going to announce somebody who's in that event coming up here in a little bit. But let me go back to how that event came to be, because a lot of people, we plan every single event internally.
Yes.
That changed a few years ago. We had somebody helping us, but no, we didn't like the direction that was necessarily going. So we plan everything. It's Morgan and I. That's it. We work with our companies to plan them and make them perfect because we want them to have a say as well. But when that event came to us, it was Harry Arnett, who used to be, I knew him from TaylorMade and then obviously at Callaway. Calling when we wished him success at his new job. And we talked and he wanted to put together the best event possible. And At the time, I didn't know what that would entail. And after the first one, obviously I did. And it's gotten better and better every single year. Jason Finley has taken the reins of this event and made it so special in every way.
I was going to say, it's really important that we mention Jason because
absolutely.
Well, and he's organized like I am. So I very much appreciate how he operates.
And what he's been able to do is make something that should not be possible. So for those following along that don't know what the Granddaddy is or listening, I'm going to explain it briefly because most of the people in the YouTube chat anyway have heard me bullshit about it for years. But it's taking 12 people who, in most cases, don't know each other. Obviously, on the forum, they do. 12 forum members from our community and whisking them off to California, where they will get a full fitting at the same place the Callaway tour staff get fit. They will get a tour of R&D, which is usually off limits for all public. They see things that they shouldn't. They will get a presentation from product experts on new pieces of equipment coming months later, sometimes months and months later, sometimes a couple of weeks later. And those people are also an open book to them to ask any questions they want. If you ever wanted to learn anything about golf equipment, it's a great opportunity. If you ever wanted to just bullshit about golf equipment, it's a great opportunity. But it doesn't stop there. You get your fitting, you get your equipment, then you get to go play. In the past, it's been a place that nobody should have the right to be on, let alone for winning a contest. And then you, I'm saying used to be, not that it's not going back there, just that there's been no decisions made. For those wondering, there's been zero decisions made about where we're hosting the Granddaddy this year. But it's one of those things where this should not happen. Nobody has the right to be in the Granddaddy. Nobody should expect to be in the Granddaddy. It's something we offer on our forum, and we're the only place that does. And we hope that continues. And it continues based on the fact that our community being different. And I'm going to segue being different with something that happened a couple of days ago that most of you fools have already seen, that are at least in the video chat, but the people listening may not. And that is, we had a forum member come on at 10:30 or so Eastern time and post about his member guest coming down with COVID, his member guest coming down with COVID. 10:30 p.m., I'm long asleep. Actually, not long asleep, but I was asleep. And I wake up to a thread that's 20-some-odd pages long, it seemed like, to a person that he had never met deciding to go. That person's wife in the thread also, or girlfriend, I believe, not wife, sorry, deciding to go. And the THP community, with no assistance from us, crowdsourcing that. So they didn't have to pay out of pocket either, along with crowdsourcing their drinks and everything else that they're going to get. They should crowdsource the studio.
Okay,
I'm kidding. By the way, we don't want your money.
No.
And I'm a big transparency guy, as a lot of people know. And I'm going to be honest and say I shared that thread with half the golf industry. Not because of do something for this, because I thought it was the perfect parallel to what we as a community, what we have in a forum. Again, a lot of people watching and listening this on different social media avenues have no idea what we're talking about. They're not part of a forum. They're not forum people or anything else. But it's this lunatic fringe, as Jason Finley so aptly describes them, that did this together with no prodding, with no asking, with no nothing, that moved me in a way that it shouldn't have, in a weird way. And I hope those guys are having fun. I know they're not listening to this, which is kind of funny in a weird way, but they're at the member guest right now. So if you get a chance, go on the forum, see the thread that the forum user's name is PCorf that he created, and just read through it. Trust me, if you have an hour of your day, that'll be worth a read, because it shows there's a level of humanity that still exists, whereas most social media is fucking shit talking nonstop, and it's terrible. But in this case, it was really, really nice to see. You'll notice we're 30 minutes into this thing, and we haven't mentioned the PGA Tour or LIV Golf, and we're not going to.
No, we're not going to.
There will be times when we have to discuss that, but it's not going to be now, because, I mean, it should be. This is the worst golf podcast, and that is the worst shit ever. I'm going to go on a bit of a speech here, because I get long-winded about that stuff, but it's not about that. It's about sports in general. And as a sports fan growing up, and as somebody who's worked in sports much of their life in different capacities and different leagues, sports is the great escape. For people who love data, it's a great way to follow stats, like Morgan. If you like fantasy sports, there's one for every single sport out there. If you like just turning off your mind and dealing with competition, it's great. It's watching people who are gifted at something that regular people can't do play a game and compete at the highest level. It's your escape from all of this. And now every time you turn onto sports, it's about lawsuits. And that's tough to follow. You follow golf and it's lawsuits. You follow football, it's a lawsuit. If you follow baseball, I don't anymore, so maybe not be lawsuits, but it might as well be, because that sport's dying.
It's just too long.
Yeah,
it is. Too many games.
And they can buy wins.
And apparently they took the fighting out of hockey. What's the point?
Yeah, well, hockey's not a real sport. I'm kidding. For all you hockey fans, it's definitely a real sport. Actually, that's a great segue.
Okay.
So she mentioned hockey. I'm going to go ahead and announce the next granddaddy participant. Every team needs somebody who can keep something from going in. So why not have a goalie? Goalie, you are going to Carlsbad, and you are the next participant in the 2022 granddaddy of them all with Callaway Golf. So enjoy the trip. I don't think he's here. Somebody's going to have to tell him. Yeah. We'll obviously start a forum thread on that.
Congratulations.
But congratulations. You just won the trip of a lifetime. There's a lot of people in this thread who have gone on that trip.
The comments are coming in fast.
There's a lot of people who have gone on that trip, and we still have two more spots to give away, and they're going to come fast. We're going to do one just like this in our next show. So just so you guys know, you can't get rid of us that fast. And we're going to do another in a traditional contest that we do on the forum. So congrats. Can you stop the Callaway shots? Real pretend psychic. Based on past history, no. But we hope he can. But going back to my thing about sports, do you guys agree? Are sports the thing that's supposed to be your escape from politics, your job, everything else around you, and now they've all kind of molded into one? And is that because we have more information at our fingertips and through social media, and at a time when technology has helped us do that at the best and easiest way possible? Or do you like that it's all involved?
Sports are an interesting one, though, because you've always had some fighting and arguing just based off of rivalries.
Absolutely. You know, and the passion is there for sure.
Yeah. And it's not even just professional, it's collegiate also.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, my doldrums with
college
sports, but I think that's definitely a big part of it. In college sports now, athletes are getting paid, so it's not really academic athletics anymore. But it's taken a turn that you don't expect, and it reminds me a lot of being able to talk about important issues. When I was growing up as a kid, you never talked about religion, politics, things like that. You just didn't. Nobody asked who you voted for. It just was cool to have the sticker that says I voted. Nobody wanted to know. You didn't ask people that.
No, and you could absolutely say it's none of your business, and it wasn't offensive.
No. Nowadays, people scream it from the mountaintops as if it's an identity, and I'm not going to turn this podcast into something serious like that, because this podcast is about what you guys want to talk about. But it's a constant barrage of bullshit, and I hate it. I hate that the one area that was a bastion away from it is now being taken away as well. There's always been some levels of it. We've had lockouts, we've had strikes, we've had political statements being made in sports, but now it's all that is. And I struggle with that so much, to a point that it makes doing this harder. Not doing THP, doing the social media side of things before. And there will be a point on this show that I have some long-winded rant that nobody's going to want to hear. So we'll have to get that one out before the sponsors come in.
I'm going to have to find the mute button.
Is this the point where you're supposed to say, and this show is sponsored by BarkBox or Chewy or one of those, use our coupon code? And
we're not there yet.
No.
But I do like the dog, like the pet.
I'd love to do
the pet avenue. I like that.
I'm pretty anti-affiliate programs in general, as you guys who have seen my stuff know. But in that case, if it was a dog affiliate box or something else like that, I'd be for that. If we can get you, only if we get you guys a deal.
Ooh, or food, because we all know how much I love food.
That reminds me of another thing I wanted to discuss.
Arrow, by the way, is sitting behind me, and he keeps pushing me further and further off the chair to the point that I literally only have like a quarter of a cheek left on the chair. Like, not to be TMI, but like, that's all I've got left on here.
So I put up a post on the forum, and I shared it on Instagram as well. Very different audience overall for the landscape. The forum has many more eyeballs. I think Instagram has like 40,000 eyeballs for us anyway. Talking about raking bunkers. And I want to preface this by saying, I don't believe that they need to go away. What my thought behind raking bunkers is, I came back from Dormy Club, and I understand this is a private facility, has 50 golfers a day. They play multiple times, so let's say 100 golfers. And it's all natural. There are no rakes. So the bunkers were fine. They manicure them each morning, and then you play through. And if you treat the bunker the same way you would a divot on the golf course or a pitch mark on the green, you expect, and they don't always do it, but you expect a golfer to replace or fill, based on your geography, your divot in the fairway. And you expect a golfer to fix their pitch mark on the green. And now you expect a golfer to rake a bunker. But my solution to this would be to not expect them to rake a bunker, to instead just clean up their footprint, straighten it out, leave it the way you'd want it to be left if it were you. Because I think, A, it takes too long. B, the rakes are always in the wrong spot. C, it costs the course money to keep these bunkers perfectly manicured. And I think adding up costs, eventually it's all going to lead back to the consumer. And you would have thought I asked people to shoot their family.
Yeah.
I know golfers don't deal with change, but you would have thought nobody could comprehend it. And my analogy was, if you're playing golf, let's say you hit your drive down the middle of the fairway and you have a shot of 130 yards on the green, but you miss it. You miss the green in the rough to the right or the left. You do not expect a good lie. You expect a bad lie, actually, depending on where you are, of course. But the lies in the rough, you're going to have deeper grass, thicker grass. The dirt's going to be overgrown. There could be some weeds. It could be anywhere.
Sure.
Yet, for some reason, golfers expect that if they miss the green and go in a bunker, which up until recently was a hazard, they expect it to be pristine. And I, for the life of me, cannot understand why.
I don't know. And I also think it's interesting, too, about rake placement, because that always seems to be a big confusion.
It's definitely a hot button.
Yeah. So if you get rid of that, then you get rid of that confusion.
It's like the comments that we got back is, you expect people to fill in divots, but for some reason you can't expect them to cover their footprint. Yes, there's going to be assholes. That sucks. That starter, that goddamn starter from earlier, and the truly drinker that's got six of them in the back of his cart, that, you know, the ones that they stomp on the can after they drink it because they think it's cool.
Oh, that drives you crazy.
Yeah, it's that guy. They won't fix their bunker, but guess what? They're not raking it either.
No,
most
not.
People are going to brush it over with their foot, just like you'd expect them to, and you move on. So why the outrage? And I get it. Golfers do not like change. We've seen that over the years.
By the way, that's not golfers. That's people.
Is that true?
Yes. People hate change.
I only deal with golfers. I try not to deal with other people.
Well, people are golfers. Golfers are people.
That's debatable. You can't possibly know that for
fact. I just
blew
your mind.
Eric brought up a really good point in the comments. He said, what about the old folks in the morning stepping all around the hole? It's annoying. Now, I'm not going to say it's older golfers. I'm going to say it's golfers. The first ones out who literally drag their cleats across the green, and then you get there and it looks like the other side of Velcro, the hook side or the loop side. I don't know which one, the fuzzy one.
Okay.
The whole green looks like that. They might as well just go barefoot at that point.
Oh,
I know. That's disgusting. Nobody wants to see that, but you're ruining the golf course. You are ruining the golf course way worse than a person not raking the greens. Jeremy's talking about, in the chat, he's talking about sunflower seeds and cigarette butts.
Yeah, I
agree. There's a million places.
Cigars, too. People love to leave those.
We can talk about people not taking care of the golf course. I just don't understand. I understand the reason you want a bunker raked. It makes it easier.
Yeah, I get all that.
What I don't understand is this idea that if it's not raked, there's zero expectation of people taking care of it. Hang on. Mm-hmm. There's zero expectation of taking care of it when we have the same expectation for everything else around the golf course. And then combine that with, you're told, replace your divots or fill them, fix your pitch marks. Say the same thing about the bunker.
I was going to ask you, what bothers you more though? That or people who don't clean their shoes off when they get out of the bunker and then there's just sand everywhere?
I feel like that's 80% of golfers. So
true.
It's that, like, they've never seen a golfer hit the bottom of their shoes to clean the sand off.
I feel like when I was learning how to play golf, that was like one of the first things that I was taught as far as like golf etiquette goes. And then I never saw people do it. I thought it was weird.
And people are right. People won't do it, but you deal with it. They don't do it now. And guess what? You say, oh, this asshole who was in this bunker before me didn't clean it, didn't rake it. Okay, play it. we have an expectation of a perfect lie by hitting a bunker and don't have one anywhere else on the course. That makes no sense. Everywhere else on the course, you do not have the expectation of a perfect lie other than the green. Why all of a sudden are we supposed to have a perfect lie in a bunker? That it just doesn't make any sense to me. I understand the reasoning because people don't like change and they like to make it easier. But from a pure, look at it from the objective side of things, it makes zero sense at all. Wouldn't you agree, Morgan?
Okay, I'm going to be honest. I wasn't really listening to what you were saying because I was trying to read the comments.
The perfect example of this being the worst golf podcast.
Sorry.
You've heard my rant about it before, though.
I really truly tuned you out completely, and I was reading the comments.
So really, it's just like life.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, guys, we want to thank you so much for joining episode one. We're going to wrap it up here. Remember, please subscribe, like the video or audio. If you're in Apple Podcasts, if you're in Google Play, wherever you get your podcast from, please subscribe and leave a review. It means way more than you think. We have a lot more coming up. We're going to come back next week with another episode, probably another contest. And to be perfectly honest, it's probably still going to be terrible, but there's going to be all new equipment in here.
We think. We hope. We're not sure, but we think so.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.